Hello, grandkids. It's Stunt Granny 299. We are nearing a big 00 number, and with me again this week is Chris Calamita. How you doing, Chris?
I am doing great, Kevin. How about yourself?
I could not be doing a whole lot better. So, I'm coming off of the high of not being a king. at all. But I did watch a king get crowned this evening.
Indeed, as did I, as we are actually recording this about over a half an hour after the show ended, which is pretty good for us.
Yeah, we are somewhat on time, which is a change. And, you know, this is a good and a bad thing. In my opinion, I like that the WWE is hyping something big for the network. Because, to be honest with you, it really kind of started with the pay-per-view. Like, I feel like anything that is on the network is worth watching, and everything else that the WWE produces is not worth watching. I mean, Jeremy and I talked about it on Monday, but it's kind of hard to get away from. Like, tonight, I would argue that they should have given this a little more hype. Before they went to the network with it, instead of, like, basically announcing the tournament at the pay-per-view, or even later, and just kind of turning it into something. Like, the end result I understand and I agree with, but the method of how they got there is a little head-scratching to me.
Yeah, I don't know if they exactly knew what they were doing with this spot on the network. I really don't. I mean, if you check the schedule at last week, when it got to Tuesday, it just said a live in-ring event. It did not list a title or anything. So this is, so I don't know exactly how this all came together. I think yesterday in his daily update, Meltzer said that they plan to do the King of the Ring over the course of 3 weeks exclusively on the network, and instead it turned into, you know, the first round on Raw, and then the semifinals of the finals on the network tonight. So it went through several ideas, it appears.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, and you can tell. I mean, it just does feel kind of half-assed, just in general, because some of the people in the tournament normally, well, I guess you always did have some people that were jokes in the tournament, but that's the other weird thing, too. Like, there's, like, of all the people that were in it, I didn't feel like the WWE was hot on anyone in particular. So in some ways it was a wide open field, but maybe that's why the bad guys really stuck out, because they were just, you know, there was no chance they were winning.
Oh yeah, the entire first round match between R-Truth and Stardust was just like, oh, come on, or...
Yeah.
Did we have to go through this?
Unfortunately, even though I skipped an hour of Raw this week, I still had to watch that. Well, actually, it was a passable match, but, you know, it was hilarious. Like, there was no one that you knew that whoever won wasn't winning the tournament. Like, normally there's at least, and I think I mentioned this in the Almost Live blog, like, normally there's at least one guy in the match where you're like, oh, okay, I could see him winning King of the Ring. Like, it's not that far-fetched, because it's never been that big of a tournament either. So, you know, there's kind of a limited number of people. But, yeah, that match had no one that was going to win.
Right, no.
So, yeah, even though tonight's Wade Barrett R-Truth match was a foregone conclusion, Ron Killings can still work a somewhat decent match.
Yeah, and this whole spider thing he's got going, I gotta admit, it makes me laugh. He's going all the way with it.
Yeah, he's found himself a role to keep himself around for sure. He is very entertaining.
Yeah, he is very entertaining. So I guess I didn't have a huge problem with him advancing to tonight. The match was passable. Not much to say about that at all. I'm not sure how I feel about the tournament essentially being used as a backdrop for the Ziggler versus Sheamus feud. I really felt like that those were some very weak finishes, and I don't even know why Ambrose was even in the tournament if that's what they were going to do, and he wasn't even going to be, well, I guess maybe we'll have to watch SmackDown or Raw this week, but he's not even going to be mad about it.
So the unstable guy isn't mad about it.
Yeah, it doesn't. Well, you heard Dolph tonight. He apologized, and of course, it's okay. It's no biggie.
Well, and again, the same result happened. Ambrose still lost. I'm not completely sure why Sheamus just didn't win the match and then start beating on him to draw Ziggler's attention so that the backdrop wasn't quite as pronounced.
Right.
But again, if I if I did not watch regular WWE TV, I would not have to put up with that part.
Right, no. No, you would not. And we talked about that last week, so I need to have some major credit for your epiphany here.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about that. Yeah, it was just really, it's been made pretty clear here with the pay-per-view. Well, the pay-per-view is in between. And again, you talked about how much you enjoyed WrestleMania. Like, they seem to find a way to build right to have one good event. And actually, we always talked about how there is bad writing after WrestleMania. It's like they're only writing for the pay-per-views now.
Right.
and they're taking off the month in between.
And that's not writing. That's pure booking.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, the writers are not getting the job done on a weekly basis. I mean, we've been over that, you know, time and again. But you know, I must, every pay-per-view is, you know, good to great, and Extreme Rules was no exception. I enjoyed also, since we're not jumping away from King of the Ring talk just yet, I guess, you know, I enjoyed the presentation of tonight's show as well.
Oh. Yeah, because, it was just a straightforward show. I didn't really listen to the promos because I was kind of watching as I talked about something else. So I didn't have the sound on. So I only really paid attention to the matches proper. And I did not realize that The Rock is in San Andreas. I am just watching this commercial for the first time here without sound also.
Well, breaking news, I guess. For you?
Yeah, breaking news for me. I don't really pay attention to The Rock.
I guess you're not paying that close of attention to The Rock's Twitter.
Oh, no. only, I don't follow it on my personal account, and I've got to admit, I don't look at the Stunt Granny account all that much when a live event is not happening and I'm, you know, doing something about it.
Right.
So, yeah, so I don't really see The Rock.
It's okay, I guess. I mean, you missed some great motivational quotes.
He does love the motivational quotes.
He does indeed. He's changed my life.
I'm sure he hasn't. Well, yeah, we did get away from talking about King of the Ring there a little bit. I was kind of surprised, I guess, today, during the day, that I had read that Neville was probably going to be the king. So, I've got to admit, that did plant a seed in my head while watching this.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking Neville was gonna end up walking away with, but then I started thinking Neville just beat Bad News on Sunday. The King gimmick works better for a heel to actually wear the cape and crown, you know, in the weeks and months afterwards. So I did start to think that it was gonna end up being Barrett. Who I declared some time ago was essentially hopeless. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe I was wrong about that. I think it was before WrestleMania I said that, actually.
Well, yeah, and that's the kind of the interesting thing about the overall presentation is that you didn't get the feeling. You know, they kept on throwing out all the former kings, but it just didn't feel right. You know, it just didn't feel like it had that much promotion behind it.
No, it absolutely didn't. No, it was something that was very thrown together, very not really many in the way, much in the way of major stars in the thing. I think the whole tournament concept loses something when the entire tournament isn't happening in one night, so that you don't even have the cachet of saying that someone won three matches in one night.
Oh, I don't mind that aspect because you're still winning two matches in a night, which I mean the more and more they do it. I mean, it turns me off of the announcing that, you know, people are injured and they're trying to sell it, but really, in the ring, no one's ever selling it.
Right, no. I think they were trying to tell the story about Neville's ribs, but apparently somebody didn't tell Neville that when he dove off the top with a red arrow and landed on his feet and then rolled through.
Well, yeah, there was that. But I even feel like the announcers kind of forgot about his ribs at some point too.
Right. Well, that happens with them. I mean, well, last night, I mean, JBL had to be the one to point out that Xavier Woods, you know, cheated during the match between Big E and Tyson Kidd because Cole and Booker completely missed that.
Yeah, they were not doing their jobs.
No, they did not. No. The announcing's never been worse. I mean, that's where we're at. The announcing is terrible, and it does drag down a lot of shows. But once again, if you're not watching the regular TV, you're not exposed to 5 hours a week of Michael Cole.
Oh, man. Yeah, exactly. Oh man, so yeah, I do agree with you in and of the fact that it is more fitting to have a heel do it. But of course, the immediate thought in my head is, will they actually do something with Barrett this time?
Right, yeah. That guy has had more start-stop pushes than anyone. I don't know if I see them doing much with Barrett here. I don't know where he goes. I mean, he was supposed to be face Daniel Bryan for the Intercontinental Championship, and you know, Bryan is a situation that we will talk about later, I believe. Oh. And it's a, you know, I mean, it's been, you know, it's official. You know, Bryan is not going to be back in action until the end of May.
Yeah.
Payback.
And honestly, I forgot how those things were intertwined, to be honest with you. Because, yeah, I don't think, well, I don't think, Barrett does not win against Daniel Bryan. In my opinion.
Oh, sorry. Say that again. You're breaking up.
Oh, Daniel Bryan wins in that situation.
Yeah.
Barrett is in just such a different spot now.
Right, but then what do you do with Wade Barrett then? He's not going to beat Seth Rollins. He's not going to beat John Cena. He's not going to beat Daniel Bryan. Where does he go from there? From this then? What is this a springboard to?
I got no idea.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the mid-card treadmill. This hasn't been on it for, you know, 5 years or more. It really is something. And I mean, I guess this is a little something for Barrett to do, but I don't see him doing much more with it. I mean, maybe he could beat Bryan if they're going to take the Intercontinental title away from Bryan.
You know, right.
In his current situation, but I don't know about that. I don't see Barrett beating Cena if he didn't do it during the Nexus era. I don't think it's going to happen now, although actually he did beat him once. And then there's, well, he's just not going to be in the world title picture. No, period.
No. No, I really liked his potential, and I mean, I still do like him a lot, but the shine is just off of him, just more because, he's on the treadmill. Like, it's kind of the same act, it's kind of entertaining, it's not really a main event gimmick.
No, the whole bad news thing is born out of a bit on the JBL and Cole show, or just the JBL show, or the JBL and Renee show, or whatever it's called nowadays. You know, it was kind of a one-note joke. He got it over, but then he got injured, and that's kind of stalled his momentum. He's, you know, since he's been back, he's been, you know, kind of, once again, he's been hot and cold ever since he got back, and I didn't feel like, you know, he wasn't, you know, booked strong headed into WrestleMania, and then coming out of WrestleMania, it's been okay for him. I mean, obviously, you know, the King of the Ring is something for him,
right? Yeah, and I mean, I guess it would give him quote unquote more of a chance against Daniel Bryan if he comes back and they continue that. But then you're having the King of the Ring lose, possibly, to the returning guy.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what to say other than, you know, we'll see where it goes with it. But I think that, I mean, they may have had a dead crowd tonight though, but the crowd wasn't reacting like they were watching something special going on. I mean, because we've seen this before with Barrett over and over again. I mean, how long can someone be on that treadmill until people just stop believing in him at all?
Well, and it's kind of funny, you talked about the backdrop. I'm going to pause this for a second. So, yeah, I just don't know where they go. And, I mean, that seems to be our general theme of this whole part. Like, it was rushed, so the crowd didn't react. And then Wade Barrett is in treadmill heaven. And, you know, even the backdrop, you know, you talked about Dolph Ziggler and Sheamus. I mean, they're another two that... I feel like Ziggler had gotten more support recently.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a story right now that he can really, pardon the pun because of the whole stipulation, but he can really sink his teeth into. I mean, last night, I mean, he did a promo. He's done two promos in a row about kicking someone's ass, beating them, not stealing the show. Not putting on a great performance. He's in a blood feud for the first time that I can remember in a very long time, and it actually is working for him.
Everyone seems it seems like it's in him for him to step up in that fashion, because I feel like he's done it a couple of times before.
Yeah, I mean he absolutely can. I mean, it's something that he showed some aggressiveness tonight. He busted Sheamus open hard way, as they say in the business.
That looked like a boo boo instead of an on purpose.
That was quite the boo boo, but it added to the moment. So, and it was. They had a good brawl, and I think I think this feud is good for Ziggler. I think that he'll be, so he can show more of a mean streak. He can show more. He can be more aggressive. I think that this can bring that side out of him. And if you listen to Steve Austin interviewing Wade Keller about Extreme Rules, that's the thing that Austin will always harp on Ziggler about, his aggression, his aggressiveness in the ring.
And you know what? It was kind of funny. I was ready to get mad at Austin. I was listening to the show where he was talking about the pile driver that Ziggler does, or DDT that Ziggler does now, and how he executed it on Neville last week. And I got mad at first because it's just like, that's such a picky thing. But I just always remember liking Austin so much more than everyone else because he did do those picky things. Like when he was dragging someone by the hair around ringside, he'd always stop at some point to punch them. You know, like, he wouldn't just drag them, like, 30 foot without hurting them in any manner. Like, it was, to me, that was one of those little things that he did that made him better than, as entertaining as The Rock is. Like, it was those kinds of things that I liked Austin more for.
Right, I mean, one of Austin's probably biggest pet peeve right now is... And this isn't, Ziggler's fault. It's the fault of everyone in the business. It's the fault of the agents and everyone who helps to put matches together. Is the prostituting? Use that word of the DDT. I mean, how many DDTs did we see on Extreme Rules, including in the pre-show match? Neville hitting Barrett with one on the floor.
And I think we even saw highlights of that. Those of us that did not watch the pre-show did get a shot of that, I believe, in replays later in the evening.
So, I mean, you know, it used to be, you know, granted, you know, times change, but I mean, of course, in the heyday of Jake the Snake Roberts, it was like this, it was the killer finishing move, and now you see it five or six times in a night. You see it, you know, you see Randy Orton doing it to someone off the ropes. You see someone, guys doing it on the floor, and just guys just getting right up like it's, you know, an arm drag. You know, so I, in that regard, I don't fault Austin. I mean, the DDT probably at this point should just become one guy's finishing move, and that's it.
Yeah, and I always think that the Ziggler thing, it worked really well on Neville, but on bigger guys, to me, it just, it doesn't sell well to me. Like, I don't feel like he'd ever have the leverage to be able to do that.
Right, no. It really doesn't work in that regard to me either. But no, I mean, I completely understand where Austin's coming from. You know, maybe you can use it as a desperation move. You hit the DDT and then you're both down, but you can't capitalize on the pin. But when you hit a DDT and then someone's just kind of, you know, getting right up from it, I'd be perfectly in favor of the DDT being, you know, maybe different variations on it. You know, Ambrose can do his double arm version, and another guy can do this single arm version. Maybe, I guess that could be okay.
Right.
Maybe you could even feud them eventually. Who's got the better DDT? But I mean, it should still be a devastating finisher, though. I mean, I'd be in favor of, you know, it's been so long. Someone just taking the old fashioned sit down pile driver, making that a new killer, their killer finish nowadays. I know it's, you know, on the quote unquote banned list unless it's the Undertaker and Kane doing the Tombstone, but I think enough time has passed that someone could pick up the pile driver, because, you know, same thing was happening with the pile driver. There'd be four or five pile drivers in a show, and, you know, of course, you know, like Ring of Honor, they're still doing that, you know.
Right.
But I think the pile driver could be a killer finish for anyone except Eric Young, of course.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Dean Ambrose has the corner on it currently. Just because it is his actual finisher.
Right, and you know what? Seth Rollins has had three matches since last Monday's Raw, and he has not used that his new version, so I'm hoping that does mean that they have gone to the back of the drawing board with that one for a finish for Rollins.
Oh, yeah. I really hope so, too.
Although him using if he's going to continue fusing with Randy Orton, I don't know, as obviously he is, him using the SKO... might actually be something that they at least run with for a little while.
Yeah, it would be fun if he ran with it through the end of the feud. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Right.
it would bill him as some type of a smart guy if he can out RKO Randy Orton. Maybe add to his architect street cred.
Right.
So he covered Barrett. I guess this whole thing with Neville, to me, not only did it plant the seed, like, it was almost like, I guess I don't get where they're going with him, because they've just had him fight so many guys off the bat.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure about that either. I mean, he's done too much since he started. He even faced the champion in his second week. You know, I'm not sure what more where there is to go with it. I guess I would a Neville Barrett feud as something to do, at least for through, you know, May.
Right.
Because, I mean, I could definitely see Neville turning some heads, you know, in Money in the Bank. I think that could be a real, you know, the real coming out party for him might be Money in the Bank. I don't know, necessarily saying he'll win it, but his performance in the match.
Right.
So in the meantime, something with him and Barrett would probably be fine. Because once again, you get the situation now where, you know, these guys aren't going to be put in the world title situation. Cena's still with Rusev for the next 3 weeks. He's a babyface anyway, so that's not going to be for Neville to feud with, at least, I don't think, not yet. And then,
yeah,
you know, with the Bryan injury situation.
Well, with any hope, Rusev will have a bounce-back feud, because I'm just not in favor of him losing again to John Cena. Twice is enough. If you really believe in this guy, I don't see the purpose of giving him a third loss.
Yeah, I don't, and you know, I think the I Quit stipulation makes for a compelling match. I do think so. I think they probably just should have done that on Sunday instead of a chain match, but...
Oh.
But it is a situation, but what makes it compelling is one of them does have to lose, and lose big. So if you're looking at it from the quote-unquote smart perspective, I don't see John Cena ever saying, I quit, unless they really are, you know, ready to move on from him to at least some degree. But I don't know if I can imagine a scenario where Rusev can scream, I quit, and have it not hurt him in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, unless they have the split happen because of Lana, and she, you know, she quits for him.
Something, but they've kind of already done that before, and I mean, it's an I Quit match. The rules of the match specifically state the wrestler has to say, one of the wrestlers has to say I quit for the match to end. It's not, you know, throwing in the towel or anything. So
oh.
That would be a really crappy finish. I mean, that would be a very, very, you know, BS finish for a match like that.
Yeah, I do agree with you.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past them, but you know, then just make it Well, I guess if you want to do a match like that, then put I guess she's a babyface now again. So put Nikki Bella in Cena's corner, have her holding a towel, have Lana holding a towel, and whoever throws in the towel, you know, loses. Then they call it an I Quit match.
Yeah, I don't see that happening right now.
Right now, not at all. That's what I was just throwing out there. So, you know, I mean, it's an intriguing match. I think they'll be literally less tied down and shackled, you know, from being able to have a better match than they did on Sundays with the I Quit stipulation. But you know, that is a tough match for at least those two characters, you know, because Cena's probably had more I Quit matches than maybe anyone ever at this point. I'm not going back into, you know, the history record books back to the 70s or the 80s here, but it has been like the go-to stipulation for Cena's big feuds over the years.
Yeah, it has been a big stipulation for him over the years. And yeah, again, I just don't think that it does Rusev any good. So I just don't understand. Like, I do see that guy having a future with them. Like, why are you putting him through this? Like, it doesn't. They don't have anyone up in that area, really.
right now. I mean, I guess he could go into a feud, say, with Roman Reigns after Cena, but then that's another feud he'll probably end up having to, you know, do his share of. I mean, they protected Rusev for a year going into WrestleMania against Cena, and I do think that Cena, you know, winning that match was the right call, especially since they weren't going with a babyface champion coming out of WrestleMania. And in continuing the feud was a good call, but they really put themselves in a situation here where the Russian chain loss isn't because of, once again, because of the stupidity, the kind of the silliness of the stipulation and, you know, touch four corners and, you know, the goofy lights and the fact that that chain was just ridiculously long that, you know, you could have, as Wade Keller pointed out on an Austin show today, you could have just sprinted around. You didn't even have to pull your opponent with you, really, because of how long that chain was. So I don't think that was a bad loss, but saying I quit, that's pretty big. But of course, hey, if they're willing to, If Rusev could win a match like that over Cena, make him say I quit. I mean, he'd be made.
yeah, I guess I just don't see that happening, which is the problem. Like, I'd love it. I think that Cena can recover. Like,
Cena can recover from anything at this point.
Yeah, like, I think that he's just going to have his fans, and he's not going to have his fans, or whatever they are. Like, the not fans really cheer for him as much as anyone else does, just by having the anti-chants in there.
Right. Cena's still the top guy. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, no matter where he's in on the card, no matter what belt he's holding, he's still the top guy.
Yeah. So, it's just, yeah. But again, I just don't see that happening.
Right. No. So, yeah. This is I don't know if I don't think I like the idea of Rusev. You know, once again, I mean. But again, turning maybe 10, I think they'll have an excellent match. I think it'll just the fact of you know, you can't imagine either of these two characters saying I quit. You know, I think is
right.
You know, it makes for a compelling match, but the aftermath, putting your fantasy booking cap on, you know, and thinking about the aftermath, that's a tough loss for Rusev to come back from. Unless, of course, they do some shenanigans where he doesn't actually say I quit. But then that just demeans the whole stipulation.
Right. And I'm trying to think of what other big topics there were, honestly, this week. Because I feel like that part is exhausted for the most part. The King of the Ring's out. What other fine topics were we talking about earlier today?
Earlier today we were talking about
Daniel
Bryan.
I feel like we got to him a little bit. Do we have more on him?
I don't think we can add anything to what anyone's already said about, you know, him, his health, his in-ring style. I think we did talk about that a little bit last week.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything we can
really
add to that.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Like, he's either, if it's this bad and it's the same problem, then yeah, he needs to figure something out. If it's a different problem, then that just kind of sucks, and the timing's terrible.
Right. I mean, they're being. He constantly, you know, parroting what Wade Keller said on Steve Austin's show earlier, but, you know, it's like, no one knows anything. They're keeping Bryan's condition is at this point, you know, very close to best, which doesn't sound too good.
Yeah, I guess that's the problem. Silence at this point pretty much paints you as guilty.
Right. They are trying. I mean, he's off all live events between now and I believe it was May 28th. That means there's no chance of him, you know, wrestling at Payback. And so I don't know if that means that they know for a fact he'll be ready to go by the 28th, or if that's just a date that they've thrown out in there. The date they've kind of just thrown out there, and they can change it at the drop of a dime. I don't know.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I mean, it's a problem for the WWE only in and of the fact that I think they'd finally hit on someone, and for this to happen a second time, because he still pretty much had most of the crowd with him after he came back, which was no guaranteed thing.
Right, no. He still had the crowd. He's, you know, he got the Intercontinental title. He was going to be in the process of re-elevating that championship, and it's really, really bad timing. I mean, I guess there's probably going to be questions about whether he should have, come back in the first place. I go back to that match he had on about maybe 2 months ago against Luke Harper on Raw. It was a 5-minute match, and he took like 3 or 4 ridiculous bumps, like right on his head. Those bumps were absolutely needless. I mean, you can make a case that putting him in a ladder match is probably not the best idea, although he really didn't do anything. That's kind of the weirdest thing, is that he probably does crazier things than, his average regular match. I mean, in hindsight,
yeah, that
putting him against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania could have ended in tragedy.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly needs more time in one regard or another. Again, but since they're not filling in what the injury is, it's kind of, it's speculation too.
Right. Yeah, it's exactly right. We are absolutely speculating because they're not saying what the injury is. They denied. I believe the one thing that they denied the issue was a concussion, and I don't think a concussion would have put him out for 6 weeks. So, but then again, he had probably dozens of concussions during his time in the indie scene and ROH. I mean, the infamous, headbutt matches with him and Nigel McGuinness, and the ring post stuff that they did. I mean, I hate to see Brian Story be a guy who treated every match on the indie scene as if he was in the main event of WrestleMania, ending up where, against all odds, he actually did main event WrestleMania, and that was the beginning of the end for him. That's kind of a sad story.
Yeah, especially since I still haven't seen a lot of that stuff. And I'm sure there are plenty of wrestling fans that are with me on that. I've really, for the most part, only enjoyed him on WWE TV. Because even when I was watching ROH, he seemed to be gone when I did get shots at it. And I think the WrestleMania in Detroit, we went to a show or two. And then, I think we went back-to-back nights. What was that? Oh, we went the following year in Orlando. And he wasn't there either time.
Right, yeah, I think the first year he was injured. And then the second year, I think he may have been on a Japan tour during that time period. I'm not really 100% sure, because it wasn't wasn't until a year later that he signed with WWE, and then,
right,
you know, he did his farewell tour, then somehow, then he got, you know, then actually after he was fired from WWE, I don't think he went back to ROH, actually.
No, he just did some indie dates, I think.
Yeah, he worked for Gabe Sapolsky. He did not go back to Ring of Honor. That's right.
Right. He knew he should have the availability to get back out of the situation. Smart.
I mean, smart move on his part. I think they knew that they just needed that stupid, you know,
cool off period
to that with Justin Roberts. He probably should have yanked that little prick it even higher, harder, but.
Oh man. Yeah, so we've said a lot about Daniel Bryan by not having a lot to say about him.
Exactly. And about 10 minutes ago I said, "No, we don't have anything to add about this."
You know, I did see this, and it was a topic that should not go untalked about, in my humble opinion. And we don't have a whole lot of show left, so it doesn't matter if it doesn't really go too far. Billy Corrigan is now part of TNA/Impact Wrestling.
Oh, yes. Billy Corrigan, they're just letting anyone now, just, you know, the thing is, he had his chance in wrestling. He ran his own indie shows out of Chicago, and they were not very well received. I mean, I believe, because I was following something, the guy who owns AIW was, he tweeted about it and asked questions, any hilarious, any funny, you know, stories about, you know, Billy's promotion in Chicago, and it says stuff about how, like, he just did these ridiculous angles, and it really wasn't, you know, they dropped like $50,000 after two shows.
Oh, yeah, I just don't. I don't think the wrestling fans are going to care about those angles, honestly, that he's talking about bringing.
Right. Now, I don't think he's... Now, granted, I know that the new... In the last 15 years, we have not seen any new great minds in wrestling break out. So, there's no... So, we've seen Vince Russo get a million chances. We've seen Jim Cornette get a million chances. You know, we've time and time again. Yeah. So, yeah. I guess I could give them a little credit for trying someone new in a head creative capacity, but I mean, whatever publicity you're gonna get from Billy Corgan is, you know, you already got it right now. Because if he's just going to be a creative, you know, force behind the scenes, you're never going to see him. He's never actually going to appear on Impact, unless of course he makes himself the new authority figure, which I guess is possible if that's what he wants to do. But I don't think that he wants. I don't know if he wants that either. I don't think he wants to. I just wonder, you know, what exactly the process was of this decision being made. I mean, was it a decision purely made on public relations, or do they really believe he's got great ideas? But at this point, it's TNA on destination, it's Impact on Destination America. I mean, how much worse can things get? I mean, they went through all those years of Vince Russo television and, you know, actually having, you know, being off TV and having fairly strong pay-per-view buys based on the word of mouth of the quality of the shows, and then Vince Russo goes on TV, they get on Spike TV, Vince Russo comes back, they start running ankles, and then somehow their pay-per-view buys actually drop.
Yeah, 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 that does happen with a Vince Russo product, and I don't right. blame people for doing that. Yeah, I guess I just don't. I hadn't realized that his promotion had been a bit of a joke.
Yeah. I mean, I'm literally going on third and fourth hand information on Twitter when I say that, so please don't sue us, Billy. But but yeah, I mean, in an era where these boutique indie promotions can do pretty well. I mean, his shows were not very well received. I mean, there's no reason his shows shouldn't have done something, especially on his name, but.
In such a big city, too. I mean, Chicago, I always rank it as one of the best, wrestling crowds.
Right. But I have heard that it is a local, Detroit area indie wrestler I know, Sweet Willie Watts, shout out to Sweet Willie, did say that he doesn't like to go, goes to the Midwest, he'll go to Ohio, he'll go to Indiana, but he doesn't get out to Chicago very much because it's hard for indies in Chicago to draw because there's just so much else to do in Chicago, and it doesn't become worth it for I think what was it AAW or whatever, that's the main Chicago indie or something like that. AIW is the one in Chicago. I mean, Cleveland.
Cleveland, yeah.
AAW is the one in Chicago. I don't know how well they draw. I mean, but Chicago, though, Chicago gets WWE every few months. Chicago is probably the city WWE visits the most. And they always get TV or pay-per-view. Because it is WWE's best city. So I guess that does might make it hard for an indie to succeed. Where I think a lot of indies can succeed is going in is number one, if they're based in outside the main city, like an hour or so away in an area that WWE will never go.
Right.
Or you're in a hotbed that WWE still only visits once or twice a year. But Chicago WWE does four or five times a year, and it's always a big show.
Yeah, that does not hurt the Chicago crowds. They certainly don't seem to get too many stinkers.
Right, no.
So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting because I don't know how much taped show they have between when Billy Corrigan's going to start working for them, and
I think I saw that there's tapings in either. I don't know if he's going to start as early as this week, but sometime in May, I think, because right now TNA is only a TV only show. I mean, he's got a new record and smashing in a summer tour, but if they do, TNA is taping 6 to 8 weeks of TV at a time, so it's not like it's going to be the biggest thing in the world for him to have those, those days to do, to go, be part of the tapings. And right now, it's that they're not doing house shows. The lead writer wouldn't even have to show up at house shows. That'd be, quote unquote, difference between the writer and a booker,
right?
Appearing there. So yeah. Once again, things can't get any worse. I mean, unless he runs some really controversial angle that gets them kicked off of, kicked off of Destination America, they can't land on their feet. I mean, which I guess he's one of those artsy fartsy guys who might do something off the wall, I guess. But I doubt that would be an issue. So.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot to be shocking about at this point. I mean, if Bruce Jenner can come out and say he wants to be a woman, and, I know that it did 17 million people, but that still means roughly 333 million people didn't watch it.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot to choose from, and there's just a lot to choose from, and I just don't think that you can be outraged. Like, when something like that is out there in the major news, and TNA is not doing 17 million.
Right, no.
You know,
I don't think
you can get that kind of traction. What?
I guess at this point, I guess we can riff on it a little bit that, you know, that they're just hiring, you know, a celebrity fan to start just, you know, writing the shows. I guess we can make fun of that a little bit, but at this point, I guess the biggest question is, why not? At least it's someone new. It's not Vince Russo again. It's not Jim Cornette again. It's giving someone new a chance here.
Yeah, I think that's about the only positive. And there was one other positive in TNA this week. Our favorite wrestler in the world, Davey Richards, is betrothed to Angelina Love now.
Oh, well, that's good for them. I'm very happy to hear that. You know, best wishes to them.
I did enjoy that Jason Powell accidentally left out a letter when he was retyping her tweet in his post, and he forgot the N in hand. Kids, go back and spell check. Just throwing it out there. Just make sure the story reads right. Oh man. Well, I can end by talking about the Sippy Time beer that I happen to be drinking here. It's from Revolution Brewing out of the fine city of Chicago, as we were just talking about. It's called A Little Crazy Belgian Style Pale Ale, and it is quite tasty. It has a little bit of a lemon kick to it, which is interesting and a little bit refreshing. So I will leave it there.
All right.